John chapter number 4, if you will, please. I meant to count and see how many times I've preached here, but I preached here many, many times, and they told me they'd have me keep coming back until I can finally preach a good one. And so so far no good, but maybe tonight we'll figure out something we can say that'll make a difference. John chapter 4, I want you to find verse number 29. John chapter 4, verse number 29. I want to ask you, if you're able health-wise, I'm going to ask you to stand up for me for just a second. At my church, we kind of stand during the preaching. There's two reasons for that. One, we do it out of reverence to the Word of God. Secondly, we do it because my sermons sometimes take as many as 2 or 3 hours to preach, and I don't want you to have to set any longer than necessary. A couple of you have no idea what to think of me at this point, and that's all right. It's going to get worse as the night continues. John chapter 4, verse number 29. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went up out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples praying him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Verse 35 is the text for tonight. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And the title of the sermon tonight is this: The Fields Are White Unto Harvest. I think, Brother Nash, you're getting ready to start your spring program, starting on Resurrection Sunday, and that's fantastic. I hope you'll listen to me tonight. I want to challenge you about this thought: The fields are white unto harvest. Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. And Lord, I'm sure glad that I get to be here. I'm glad that everybody is here. But Father, the one that will make the difference is if you're here. And you're invited and you're wanted. Holy Spirit of God, reach down and do something supernatural in our midst tonight. I believe, God, that as a result of this night, this service, this sermon, I believe someone's eternity will be changed. I think the eternity of someone that's lost and on their way to hell out there in the world somewhere today, I think their eternity will be changed. But I think somebody in this room, I think they'll be challenged in a spiritual way. And because of that, eternity will be better for them. Now bless us with thy presence, Lord. Give me the attention of everybody here. Father, I intend to give you my attention. And may we see something unique and special happen in our midst tonight, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. Jesus is in Samaria and he's at Jacob's well. That's the story that we just kind of concluded and then went into some occurrences right after it. He's thirsty and he asked the help of a Samaritan woman. She kind of questioned him asking because the Jews and the Samaritans were not real friendly toward each other. Jesus actually says to her, "You should be asking me for a drink of water, living water." He's speaking of salvation. Eventually, this lady that he speaks to, she gets saved, and then she runs to town to tell everybody about Jesus. And she goes to town and says, "Come meet a guy, told me everything that I ever did." And she was all excited, and she begins to draw a crowd that she's going to take out to meet Jesus. And while she's in town, Jesus and the disciples stay right where they're at. The disciples offered Jesus, said, "We'd like to give you some meat, something to eat to refresh yourself." And he said this to him. He said, "My meat is to do God's will." Then he speaks to them from John chapter 4, verse 35. Now, if your Bible is a red letter edition of the Bible, what is in red letters, those are the words of Jesus Christ. But just so you know, even the black words are the words of Jesus Christ. The red ones, though, are the words that he spake when he was physically here on the earth. And so your Bible would say to you in John 4:35, if you glance at it, it is Jesus speaking, and he says this. He said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." I've preached around the nation many, many times for many, many years. I was down preaching in Georgia. My plane had landed. It was already dark out. I got, like I do so many times, I got in a car and my host would drive me and take me to a hotel room and I would check in and sometimes a little oblivious to where exactly I am. But they took me to the hotel, took me to my room. It's on the second or third floor up, and I knew that my room was all the way at the back of the hotel. And I just went in, put my suitcase down, brushed my teeth, and fell on my bed and fell asleep. Woke up the next morning, and when I did, the curtains, there was a big kind of picture window on the back of my room, which was at the back of the hotel, and I knew the sun was starting to come up. And so I went over, and I was kind of looking down. You know, at the hotel, usually wherever the window is, they've got a little heat or air conditioning unit that is plastered in the wall there. And I was kind of pulling the drawstring for the curtain over my big picture window so I could see out of doors. And I was looking down at the little air conditioning heat unit down there while I was pulling that drawstring. I got the window all the way open, and then I lifted up my eyes from looking at that air conditioner. And I looked out the back window, and I could not believe what I had seen, what I was seeing. There were cotton fields, and the cotton was in full bloom and ready to be picked. And I mean, Brother Nash, the cotton field was, it was everywhere. It's all you could see out of the back of that hotel room. Cotton everywhere, just everywhere, as far as my eye could see. I could see nothing but those white balls of cotton. Looked a lot like these, and it was everywhere, just everywhere. It looked like a heavenly cloud had rested upon that cotton field, an ocean of waves of pure white cotton. And I'll be honest, it broke my heart because I thought of this verse, where the Bible said, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I mean, it was the cotton, as far as I could look to the right, as far as I could look to the left, and all the way into the distance, I could see no houses, I could see no tree lines. There was just virtually, I think, 1,000+ acres of nothing but cotton. So that hotel had been built back in, tucked in to a certain degree into that cotton field. We live in North Carolina. Not far from our house, there's a place called White's Farm. And White's Farm, they harvest cotton. The other day, they were advertising that they were looking for people to work in the fields to help harvest their cotton. Now, let me explain. Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest. What was he talking about? Well, the field, you see, that's the area in which you and I live. And the cotton, you say, what's the cotton? That cotton represents people, the souls of men. And he was saying that the field is ripe unto harvest, and there's so many people that need to be reached. It's incredible. And let me tell you something, folks. You know, there are people everywhere that need to be born again.
Yes, sir.
They're everywhere. Let me see if I can explain it to you. There are people everywhere that need to be born again. Everywhere. You know, I looked at that cotton as I looked out my hotel room. And I mean, as far as you could go, you see cotton. And the Lord said, he said, the field is white unto harvest. What was he saying? He said, there's people everywhere that need to be born again. They're everywhere.
Yes.
And they need to be saved. Jesus said, I'm telling you that the harvest is ready. It's time. It's time to win people. It's time to reach people.
Amen.
Folks, I hope you do realize if the harvest was plenteous back then, there are more people now than ever on the face of this earth.
Yes, sir.
Do you all realize this about your area? In the last 10 years, you've grown by 22% in your population. You probably don't know it, but I studied your area. I studied it very well. I studied it before Brother Nash took this church. You know, Brother Nash, there's not a shortage of people.
There's people everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, the field, it's white. Amen. It's white. There's plenty of people to be reached. They're everywhere. They yes, are virtually everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Boy, I thought, I'll never forget, I woke up that morning, I looked out the back of that hotel, and as far as my eye could see, there was cotton. And immediately my mind went to this verse, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Folks, your area is ripe for the harvest.
Yes,
and you know something? It's harvest time. It's spring program time. If you don't understand spring program, it's just revival days on Sunday. That's all it is. And it's time to reap a harvest. It's time to reach people. And there are plenty of people that need to be reached. Stay with me. I promise you, my sermon's simple, but I want you to think tonight about the fact that there are people everywhere, and those people need to be reached for Jesus Christ. Let me say, first of all, the fields are white unto harvest. John 4:35, he said, look on the fields, for they are white. That means the fields are full. There are millions of people that need to be reached with the gospel. And I'll promise you something, folks. You have not even brushed the surface of reaching your area. Did you know that between St. Mary's County and Charles County, there's probably over 250,000 people that could be reached? You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to set a goal of getting about 1%.
Amen. Amen.
That's not outrageous, is it? 1%. You see, there are people everywhere. I'll tell you this. I think you could probably reach out even a little further than that. You say, why so? I think your pastor is a good pastor. I think he knows the Word of God. Hey, people will drive a good distance to get a good piece of steak. They'll have to drive by a lot of dead churches to get here, but I am going to guarantee you that the field is white unto harvest. I've been in this area when the traffic was so thick it'd make you want to go off-road to try to get around them. Y'all know what I mean when it gets like that? Let me tell you something. That might be a frustration to you, but it is also a blessing. There are people everywhere, and they need to get born again, and they need Jesus Christ, and the field is white unto harvest. When you get down to the grocery store and you say, there's not any place to park, the fields are white unto harvest. And you go into where Walmart is, and you say, there are people everywhere. Everywhere. The lines are so long, this is ridiculous. The fields are white unto harvest. You say, boy, they're people and it's so busy. Like I told you, earlier today, I looked at the demographics of your area, and in the last decade, this area has increased in population by 22%. And I think you know that. New businesses, housing developments, things like that taking place. What is God doing? God is bringing people to this place for one reason. God wants to see him get born again.
Amen.
And there happens to be a gospel preaching church in the area. And so the population is increasing. That means the harvest can even be greater than what it was before. So, number one, the fields are white unto harvest. Number two, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's spring program time. But the week after spring program's over with, it's still harvest time. I love to hear that song sung. Brother Nash, I think I've heard you sing it, but I love to hear the song sung. My house is full, but my field is empty. You know what it's talking about? Well, we got a lot of people come in and sit down in God's house, but you don't have very many people out there harvesting. We need to harvest. It's harvest time. You know, I want, and I think Brother Nash wants, he wants your church to get people saved. But he would like to become a part of the harvest team. He would like you to become a part of the harvest team. Like I told you, White's Farm in my area, they harvest cotton. If You went on the internet today and you looked up White's Farm in Newber, North Carolina. They have a little section that says they're wanting to hire people to help in the harvest. Can I tell you something? Jesus wants you to help in the harvest. Brother Nash wants you to help in the harvest. The harvest field, it's ripe. It's plenteous. There's plenty of people out there that need to get born again. Hey, for the longest time, they picked cotton by hand. They would go out and pick just a little piece of cotton one at a time and stick it in the little bag that they carried. But eventually, they got a faster mechanical cotton picking machine that was invented. And you know something? I want my church, we'll pick them one at a time, but I am in it to reach the multitude. We need to reach as many people as we can. That's why I like a bus ministry. You know what? That's a cotton picking machine right there, baby. Woo! Boy, you can get them. You can go out and get a lot of them. People that criticize the bus ministry are criticizing multiple picking machine because the bus ministry is one of the greatest soul winning ministries in America right now. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is coming again. You know, when he comes back, he would like to know that you and I have been in the field picking cotton.
Amen.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen? Jesus is going to come again, but most Christians, they're going to be sitting at home in front of the television when he comes. They're going to be sitting somewhere eating them a great big old fat steak and a piece of apple pie. You know what I'd like to see happen? I'd like Jesus to come again. Say, Jeff, where were you when I came to get you? I'm going to say, I was in the field picking cotton. I was picking cotton, Lord. You see, the field is white unto harvest. And it's harvest time. Folks, there's some of you. Jesus was talking to you. Did you hear what he said? He said, say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. You know what he was saying? He said, some of you put it off.
Yes, sir.
You're saying, I'll get around to it. I'll start picking cotton someday. Do you know something? If you wait to pick some cotton someday, somebody will have already died that needed to be saved. And why would we need to put off telling somebody about Jesus Christ? Oh, Brother Nash, I'll start showing up for soul winning someday. Oh, Brother Nash, I'll get interested in the bus ministry someday. Oh, Brother Nash, I'll get interested in Sunday school someday. Oh, Brother Nash, I'll invite my family to church someday. Oh, Brother Nash, I'll invite my neighbor to church someday. Oh, Brother Nash, I'll learn how to share the plan of salvation someday. And Jesus said, don't you do that. Don't you put me off. Don't you tell me there's plenty of time. There's not plenty of time. It was urgent. He said, you all wake up. You lift up your eyes. You look this thing right square in the eye and realize it's time. Now. 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 You see, the fields are white unto harvest. And it's harvest time. How long are you going to wait to get involved with the responsibility of passing out the gospel to other people?
Amen.
You say, well, that's what our pastor's job is. That is not what the Bible teaches. He is a soul winner because he is a Christian.
That's right.
Not because he is the pastor. Everybody is to pick cotton.
Amen.
You're to pick cotton.
Amen.
And don't you tell me you don't know who to talk to. They're everywhere.
Yes, sir.
They're everywhere. Now, why is it that we don't harvest? Well, let me tell you what happens. Maybe you say, well, I'm not harvesting any cotton. I'm not reaching anybody. But you know, Brother Owens, I'm saved. You took care of you, didn't you? You say, well, I'm saved, so you're not really worried. Well, there's a whole bunch of people out there that can't say that they're saved.
Right.
Maybe you say, well, you know what? My family's saved. My wife, my kids, or my husband and my kids, they're saved. You know, that's a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you something, folks. One of the basic principles of Christianity is all about others and getting away from stinginess. I'm glad you're saved, and I hope you're glad that I'm saved, but it doesn't stop there. God didn't save you just to save you. He saved you to make you a part of the harvest team.
Amen.
We're to pick cotton. The field is white unto harvest. You know, we don't go soul winning because, well, we're saved, or well, our family's saved, or you know what? You're in a good church. Why should you care about anybody else? Maybe you don't believe there's a hell. There is a hell.
Yes, sir.
There is a hell, and we better do something about it. Most of us are just procrastinators, though. We're going to do it eventually. We'll go soul winning eventually. You say, well, Brother Owens, the soul winning program here at the church, it is inconvenient to my schedule. Okay, that's possible. So couldn't you go at another time?
Amen.
You say, when? You pick it.
Amen.
You pick it.
Yes, sir.
Well, they meet on Thursday at 7 o'clock or Saturday at 10. I can't do it then. Did you know that there are 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week and 365 days in a year? When did you go? Well, Thursday at 7 is inconvenient. Well, now you knocked out 1 hour. What are you doing with the rest of your life?
Right.
You use inconvenience as an excuse to be lazy and not do what God called you to do. You say, but I can't get out and about. Pick up your telephone. Call somebody. You say, who? I don't know. Just call the cotton. You say, well, I'm not sure. Telemarketers do it all the time.
Yes, sir.
They don't necessarily know who you are. But you got something to give away, not sell.
Amen.
And it's worth the world. Listen.
Yes, sir.
The fields are white unto harvest. And it is harvest time. You know what Jesus said? Lift up your eyes.
Amen.
Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Some of you just need to get a bigger vision for the souls of men. Some of you need to lift up your eyes and get a bigger vision for the Gospelite Baptist Church. Don't be satisfied with the ones that we've already reached. Did you know something? You've had people saved, and many people saved through the years here. Thank God. This has always been a soul-winning church. You say, oh, let me tell you about the time way back when we had all these people saved. Folks, I need to tell you something. Those that got saved, we're glad they got saved. But there's many, many more. You know, the Bible says that hell hath been enlarged. You say, why is hell enlarged? Because there are more and more people that tend to be going there. Why? We all live off of the past. You've seen somebody saved years ago. The church had a bunch of people saved years ago. Hey, we need to get people saved now.
Amen.
Lift up your eyes. Let's have a goal of reaching everybody that we can. Some of us need to see the bigness of what God wants to do in your life. And the bigness of what God wants to do with your church. Stop being satisfied with what's already happened and realize the people that need to be saved need someone to go pick cotton. You need to get out there and make it happen. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you have a vision for your church? You know, the average church member in America has no vision for their church. They're hoping the pastor will have some sort of a vision. Look, folks, be nothing wrong with you having a vision for your church.
Amen.
The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish.
Yes, sir.
You say, who perishes? Well, if you don't have a vision for people to get saved, there's some that don't get saved. They're going to perish. But there is a part of the prosperity of the Christian life and the success of the Christian life. If you don't get a vision for people being saved, you're going to hurt your own prosperity. There are things that you should accomplish that you won't or you don't. Lift up your eyes. Hey, church leadership, lift up your eyes. Don't hold back. Rise to the occasion. Get a vision. Hey, get a vision that requires a little bit of faith. Hey, decide that you want to be used of God. Let God use you. Look, don't let everybody else have a harvest and you just watch.
Right.
Get involved in the harvest.
Amen.
You ought to want to tell people about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Church leadership needs to get involved like that. If you run one of the vans, your bus ministry, your van ministry, some of you need to get serious about that thing. You need to realize there are people out there that need to be born again, and God wants you to tell them about Jesus Christ. Hey, you need to get out there and make something happen and get that van full and get people excited. Get a burden for your van. Get a burden for the kids. Get a burden for the lost. Go make some visits. Knock on some doors. Hey, pick some cotton, van captain.
Amen.
Hey, Sunday school teacher. It's cotton picking time. I don't think your job is just to teach a lesson. I think it's your job to keep the lost out of hell. Sunday school teacher, visit your class. Find out if you teach in a class of little boys or little girls or whoever. You might want to visit the family and find out if the brothers are saved or if the sisters are saved or if mom is saved or if dad is saved or if the husband is saved or if the wife is saved. Hey, let's not be, you say, well, preacher, we've got cotton. You know, every one of you, you all represent cotton. You're all cotton. Somebody picked you. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
You got picked. Can I tell you something? There are a bunch of people out there that need picked.
Yeah.
They need harvested. They need somebody to care.
Amen.
Sunday school teacher, you need to tell people about Jesus Christ. Put your heart into this spring attendance campaign you're getting ready to start. Get somebody new. And let me tell you something. Sunday school teachers, some of you would be miserable at my church. I'll tell you why. I throw a fit about the fact that the average Sunday school teacher lets everybody else build their class, and they don't build their own class. Hey, will you even have a class if vans didn't run? Have you ever gotten anybody into your class? I think you need to get people involved.
Yes, sir.
Get God's power on your life and go reach somebody. I said this at my church just yesterday. I said the great D.L. Moody, who pastored up in Chicago, he had all these Sunday school classes. And now, see, at my church and at your church, our Sunday school classes have designated grade levels. You know, you got the first through third grade boys and the first through third grade girls, and you have to go to a particular class, which I think is very organized, and it's the right way to do it. Well, D.L. Moody didn't do it exactly that way, Brother Nash. They would bring in all sorts of people, and boys and girls would come from everywhere, and they would just let them go to whichever Sunday school class they wanted to go to. And D.L. Moody said, you could always tell who the really good Sunday school teachers were. You could always tell the ones that were prayed up, had the power of God, that cared about people, that loved people, and got people saved. People would flock to come to that class. I told my Sunday school teachers yesterday, I said, some of you can thank God that I make the third graders come to your class because you're so boring and uninterested in their soul. If I didn't make them come to your classroom would be empty every week. Hey, somebody needs to harvest. Somebody needs to care. The New Testament church has lost its thrust. The New Testament church, they're losing it. They're more interested in our portfolio, and we're more interested in reputation than we are the souls of men. The Bible says that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why Jesus came.
Yes.
See, look, church leadership, you need to win souls. You need to get out there and pick some cotton. And van captains, pick some cotton. Sunday school teachers, pick some cotton. Those of you that are mature Christians, pick some cotton. You know, the truth is, the more mature you are, the more cotton you should have picked. I believe this. I believe, some of you say, well, I've been going to a Fundamental Baptist church for 40 years, 50 years. Will you pick any cotton? Have you been picking any cotton? Well, I've had people just want to give me all sorts of security through the years and say, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, I've just been in a good old church for years and years and years. You know what I want to ask? How much cotton have you picked through the years? You just show up down at the bunkhouse and come in and enjoy the air condition and enjoy the music and enjoy the teaching, but you never pick any cotton. You know, the Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The Bible says, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my Father's house might be full.
Amen.
Full.
Amen.
Full.
Amen.
I feel disobedient when my church isn't full.
Yes.
You say, why? I told her to fill it up. That's what God told me to do. You say, well, in these days, fooey on these days, you get the power of God, you get out there and win souls to Christ, and you can fill these pews up.
Amen.
People are just looking for excuses.
Yes,
you know something?
It's as easy to pick cotton today as it ever was.
It's not real hard. You say, well, this one I was trying to witness to, it was hard. Then go get you another piece of cotton. They're everywhere. If you're a mature Christian, you ought to be picking cotton. Boy, I come across Bible college graduates everywhere. They're always quick to tell me, oh, I went to so-and-so college. You know something? I don't care what college you went to. You picking any cotton?
Amen.
Picking any cotton?
Amen.
Hey, teenagers, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Go pick some cotton.
Amen.
Get your friends saved. Work hard. Hey, at my church right now, you talk about a fired up group of young people. They take off, they work on the bus routes, and they have teenage soul winning program. And I am just telling you, they go out there. I got a picture. I had a whole bunch of kids that they had cornered in a, they were at a trailer park somewhere, and a couple of my teenagers had a whole bunch of these kids. They were all on their knees, had their Bible open on Saturday. Everybody had their head bowed, their eyes closed. Somebody was snapping a picture because there was a revival going on down at the trailer park. God knows, you know what goes on at some trailer parks. Thank God for revival. You know what they're doing? Picking cotton. There's some of you who've been saved for 20 years. I need to send you with one of my 13-year-olds. Let them show you how to do it. My 13-year-olds win people to Jesus Christ. Hey, soul winner, lift up your eyes. Men, oh my, we are desperate for men to reach men.
Yes.
Men, you need to get the people that you work with to come to church. You need to tell men about Jesus Christ. You know, the average church that you go to in America, it's filled with women and children. God knows we need a revival of reaching men. I would love for one man in here to listen to me tonight. I wish you'd get a little grit in your craw and stop being such a coward and putting your tail between your legs and walk up to a man and tell him about Jesus Christ and watch him get saved.
Amen.
Well, you want to be a blessing to your pastor? Bring a man to church.
Amen. Amen.
Go
Amen.
Reach a man.
Amen.
Tell a man how to be saved.
Amen.
The men today are looking for 4-year-olds to witness to because they're cowards. Man, a couple of you got to take a breath or you'll die before the end of my sermon. Hey, listen, you know what he said? Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, church leadership. Look at the fields. They're white unto harvest. Lift up your eyes, van captain. Lift up your eyes, Sunday school teacher. Lift up your eyes, mature Christian. Lift up your eyes, teenagers. Lift up your eyes, soul winners. Lift up your eyes, men. Lift up your eyes. Hey, Christian, lift up your eyes. I'm going to tell you something. Everywhere I go, people are always saying, oh, America's in such sad shape. Oh, God, help America. America's in such sad shape. Can I tell you something? America's not going to be saved because of who's in the White House. America's going to be saved because of the church house and your house. If you really want to know what will save America, we need to go picking cotton, and we need to have a revival of cotton picking in America, and we got to get people saved.
Amen.
Salvation will change a nation.
Amen.
The Bible's very clear. The Bible says that righteousness exalteth a nation.
Yes.
There's two kinds of righteousness. There is that imputed righteousness when somebody gets saved, and then there is personal righteousness thereafter. You really want to help America? Go pick some cotton.
Amen.
You see, Jesus said, the fields are white. He said, it's harvest time. He said, lift up your eyes. And the problem is this, I think. I think the problem is we're looking down instead of looking up.
Yes.
In Luke 21:8, it says, look up and lift up your heads. It says, lift up your eyes. Hey, don't look down. Look up at what God can do. Look up at what God could do with you. Look up with what God could do with your Sunday school class. You know, there's some of you teach Sunday school and you are way too satisfied with what you have. There's somebody else that needs to learn that lesson that you're teaching this week. Go find them. Help them. Get them into that class. Look up at what God could do with your van route. Look up with what God could do with your church. You do understand there are so many people around here. Well, you all don't know what to do with them all. Now, the whole world may think that, well, that has to do with the economy. No, it has to do with souls of men and people needing to be saved. Look up at what God could do with you, soul winner. Look up at what God could do with your family. Look up at what God could do with your missions program. Look up at what God could do with the church. Look, I'll promise you something. If you don't limit God, He won't limit you. The Bible says in Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." I think you ought to set a goal. I think you ought to want to reach them all. Reach them all. Reach your city. Reach your county. Reach your state. Reach the East Coast. You know what Jesus asked? He said, reach the world. Reach the world. That's a pretty big deal. You say, where's it going to start? Reach one. Then you go after two. Then you can go after three. I think far too many people minimize what God could do. Some of you got to get a bigger vision. Brother Nash is great with music. I'm kind of a dumb bunny when it comes to music. But you know, there is something that I've taught people for a long time about music. As a song leader, if you lead big, people sing big. If you lead small, people sing small.
Yes, sir.
Sunday school teacher, get a vision about bigness.
Amen.
Lead big. Band captain, lead big. Pastor, lead big.
Amen.
I believe in leading big.
Say,
well, I wonder if you never make it. It was fun trying. We all, churches and everyone, the whole world is big, and Hollywood's big, and all the bad stuff out there's big, and we are cowering in some corner when we are the servants of the God of the universe. We win this thing in the end. God is bigger than the world, but here we are, scared to death to tell anybody about Jesus, scared to death to bring anybody to church, scared to death to step out by faith. Hey, lead big, Christian.
Amen.
There's a big world out there.
Amen.
Think big. Listen. We need every sinner to decide to invite other sinners to the Savior. You all do realize we're all sinners, right? There's saved sinners and lost sinners. Hey, yeah, I'll tell you this, and it won't be long, I'll be done. But let me tell you something. There are some of you, before you got saved, you lived your life, you were wild. You could party with the best of them. You were wild, you were rough. Could I recommend something to you? Why don't you decide to serve Jesus to the same extreme that you used to serve the devil? Would there be anything wrong with that? Would there be anything wrong with you saying, you know what, I used to be as wild as they come. How about you give as much energy to picking cotton as what you gave to getting high, getting drunk,
yeah,
or being immoral?
Yes.
There'd be nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
Oh, but let me tell you this. There's some of you, you're about as clean as they come. Well, you got saved at an early age, came up in the church. Hey, you never went out and got drunk, you never went out and got high. You've been moral and clean. Did you know that God didn't save you to turn you into a museum piece? He saved you to be productive. So if you're a terrible, terrible sinner in your past, why don't you go ahead and just give God the rest and tear into serving Jesus like you used to tear into serving the devil? You say, well, I've got a very clean testimony. Can I tell you, it ought to be that the cleanest testimony is the most productive testimony.
Amen. Amen.
God salvaged you to serve. You know what I've learned? Here's what we do among the cotton. We walk.
To the cotton.
We'll buy things off the cotton. We'll listen to the cotton. You know what Jesus said? Harvest!
Amen.
Amen.
Harvest.
Amen.
The cotton.
Amen.
You drive with the cotton. You wave at the cotton. You laugh at the cotton. You eat with the cotton. We're to harvest the cotton.
Amen.
And it's everywhere.
Yes.
We're surrounded by it. I wonder how many pieces of cotton you came in contact with today. You didn't see any? They're everywhere.
Yes.
They're everywhere. Jesus said to the disciples, lift up your eyes and look. The fields, they're white already to harvest. Folks, it's our responsibility, yours and mine, to pick cotton. We're to be bringing people to the Savior. Last time I preached this sermon, I gave an invitation, and people started coming forward. It was very sweet, Brother Nash. Oh, the altar was full of Christians who decided they're going to pick some cotton. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. They're going to grab them some gospel tracts and pass out some tracts and get some people in church and go tell somebody how to be saved. But boy, when it was all said and done, Brother Garland, there were seven people at the altar being won to Jesus Christ. And hit this what I did, Brother Nash. As I read their names, I said, little Joey here just got saved. Got one.
Amen.
I said, Mikey just got saved. Got one. Mr. Jones just got saved. Got one. Mrs. Smith just got saved. Got one. Susie just got saved. Got one. Billy just got saved. Got one. Little Sally just got saved. Got one. We all looked at it and realize Jesus was saying, the field is ripe. Go get some. Go get some. Nothing greater that a Christian could do than help somebody else to the Savior. Nothing greater.
That's right.
I hope, as you start your spring program, I hope you'll consider trying to get one.
Amen.
Try to get one Sunday school teacher. Try to get one Christian. Try to get one bus captain. Try to get one church leader. You say, well, Brother Owens, I'm brand new Christian in the church. Can I tell you something? The woman that was at the well with Jesus, she got saved. The woman ran into town, brought all sorts of people to Jesus, just like that. You say, well, what in the world would I tell them? Well, what happened to you? Tell them what you did to get saved. That's all it takes. If it saved you, it'd save them. You know what happened to you? It's that simple. You say, well, I've not been thoroughly trained. I want you to get all the training you can, but it's not real hard to pass out a gospel tract. This is what you do. Yeah, that's what you do. I call the sermon, "The Fields Are White Unto Harvest." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, I recommend to you that you get saved tonight. You come, let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, Pastor, I'm not born again. If I died tonight, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand? Then, I'm going to take it that the testimony is that you're a born again Christian. All I want to do is stir you. There's some of you, you used to win souls. You don't anymore. That's called being backslidden. Some of you, maybe you've never. You need to learn and you need to get into this thing because Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest. He said, don't give me excuses. Don't tell me you're going to get eventually. He said, now, get out there and start doing something. Who here tonight would say, Brother Owens, tucked somewhere in the sermon tonight, God has spoken to my heart. God has spoken to my heart about this harvest thing. And I know He's spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? You say, God's spoken to my heart about the harvest.
Amen. Lots of hands. Almost every hand in the house, and you may put those hands down. This is what we're going to do. In a second, I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. After she begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. I wish that some of you would just come to the altar for a moment and say, Lord, help me. I've not been harvesting. I used to harvest, but I've not been harvesting. Lord, help me. Maybe if you have fears, come and say, Lord, help me with my fears, but I need to become a part of the harvest. I need to help bring in the cotton. I need to bring visitors to church. I need to get gospel tracts out. I need to tell people how to be saved. You just need to come down here and pray. Maybe there's somebody you want to pray for. Maybe you need to pray for your Sunday school class, or pray for your bus route, or pray for your neighbor, or pray for your family members that need to be saved. I don't know, but look, get God in on this. Get God's help, and you'll begin to pick cotton. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, why don't you come? Why don't you come and come down here and say, Lord, I've not been picking cotton like I should. I'm a leader in the church. I ought to pick cotton. I'm a teenager. I have nothing to be ashamed of or afraid of. I need to pick some cotton. Sunday school teachers, pick cotton. Band captain, pick cotton. Christian, pick cotton. Some of you got an apology. You said, well, it's inconvenient. Well, look, I'll tell you what. Hell's going to be inconvenient for the people that die and go to hell. You sure did make sure you were saved. I asked earlier, anybody here not saved? Everybody seemed to be saved. The only person you care about, you? Your family? Somebody needs to get on the firing line for Jesus and start winning souls again. Say, but I can't be here Thursday night at 7. I can't be here Saturday at 10. I can't be here Friday at 2. Then go another time. Anybody can invite their neighbor to church. Anybody can invite the people that they work with to church. Anybody can. Jesus, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And if the fields were white already unto harvest back then, believe me, they're more white and more full today than ever. The population on this earth is grown and grown and grown, and Jesus still saves, and there's still a hell, and it's still the key to the Christian life. Yes. Folks, if you look at me for just a second, I'm going to challenge you to do something. Brother Nash, and you can do what you'd like with the rest of the invitation. I challenge you, when you leave this auditorium tonight, won't you reach down and grab a piece of cotton? Take it with you. Take it with you. Keep it in your purse for a while. Put it in your pocket. Put it somewhere where you can see it. You say, well, why would I want to be reminded of this sermon? Because somebody's eternity is hanging in the balance. Yes. Take a piece of cotton home. Some of you ought to take more than one. Amen. Good deacon in my church, when I preached this sermon at my church, I asked people, I said, take a piece of cotton home with you. That night, that deacon came back and he was come up on the platform. He said, preacher, he said, I want to show you something. You wouldn't believe it. He had both of his pockets full of cotton. He said, preacher, I'm sorry. I've not been winning souls. He said, I'm carrying these in my pocket to work this week. I thought, wow. Hey, grab you a piece of cotton, maybe a couple. Let it bother you.
Amen. Amen.
Let it bother you. Let God see that you have a tender heart toward the souls of men.
Amen.
God will bless you for that. And Brother